Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
I'm here.
You're here? Grapefruity, is that what you said?
Yes.
The grapefruit pamplemousse. The quoi.
Wahoo.
Oh, who are you?
You.
I brought that one, brought friends.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, you do the grapefruit LaCroix.
I did. Thank you.
What?
I said I did, thank you.
and now you don't anymore?
No, I just did. I'm saying I did. I bought two cases of it.
Yeah.
Actually, because the kid likes it. Okay. Which is weird.
The kid likes grapefruit flavor thing?
Yeah, she likes the coconut too.
Ugh. I can't.
It's good. It's good with rum.
I imagine it's. I don't like coconut flavored things, and I can tell when somebody opens one of those up at work.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm standing in the kitchen and they pop it open, it's like, oh, that's right up in my. It's right up
greel?
In my nose. In my greel. Yeah.
Get greel.
Yeah. I will try. Let's see here. Is this coffee warm enough?
Mm. There is just
okay. It's fine.
So much.
So much what? So much. So much.
So much to say.
Yeah.
Mm. It's dark.
Mm, it's dark out.
It's grim, Cole. It's grim.
A lot going on. A lot going on.
Man, oh man. Let me tell you.
Oof.
I got to get a black hoodie.
Why?
Because I'm going to try out a new character. Put on a black hoodie and go look in people's windows.
I don't think that's a character. I think that's probable cause.
No, I'm the grim peeper.
like Mr. Peepers, like the SNL character, Chris Kattan? little cave boy?
I don't know. I was just thinking about playing Chubby Bunny with Peeps.
I think that might be so. That's an urban legend, right? That people die playing Chubby Bunny.
I played it with a kid.
Huh. And you do that with with marshmallows.
Marshmallow.
Wow. Went to it's on Snopes. A child suffocated. Snopes, well, that's noted liberal bias. A child suffocated while playing Chubby Bunny marshmallow stuff. I gave her, for people who don't know what this is, if you're international or whatever, this is a game. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is a game where you put as many marshmallows, like big marshmallows, like you would cook over a fire, in your mouth as possible. Right. And then
seems like it.
I don't know what the end game of that is. I've never played it, and I've never been around somebody who played it. It seems kind of unwise, because then do you just spit them out? Because I can't imagine having that mass of marshmallows in your mouth and then like working on them.
Yeah, no, you don't.
No,
you don't. It's easier to do when you have a fever, because they melt easier. Take up less space.
Right. And that's why that's why all the champions always go around getting sick. They lick doorknobs. The champion Chubby Bunny players. Yeah. Casey's death was reported by the media at the time of the incident, but unlike many news stories about the death of a child, the deceased sixth grader's story was told and retold in ensuing months, primarily via the Oprah Winfrey Show, which talked about the case, including airing interviews with the distraught parents in January, March, and June of 2000.
It's a gift that keeps giving.
Yeah,
man.
Just keep on coming back.
The idiot of the month
club.
The idiot of the month's club.
Yeah. Huh.
They should call this movie The Weeks.
What do you what?
It was 30 Rock.
Oh.
The Hours should be called The Weeks.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Nicole Kidman's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the just the kind of the constant hammering of this turned it into
I would like to human Gwyneth Paltrow with Nicole Kidman.
To human?
Yeah. It's like fisting, but with a whole person.
Oh, Jesus. I think that's called unbirthing, actually.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, re-unbirthing, maybe.
Reverse crowning.
On 13th of November 2006, another chubby bunny death occurred when a 32-year-old named Janet Rudd choked on a marshmallow and collapsed while participating in the game at a fair in London, Ontario. Emergency crews were unable to remove the blockage from her throat at the scene. She was then taken to a hospital where she was revived, but she died later that evening.
Fucking pour some hot cocoa in her face. Jesus.
That's how you do it. That's why you always have to be sick. That's why you always have to have a fever.
Good God.
You stop these problems from happening.
Get a bitch some lemon water, for Christ's sake.
You get out in front of
hot
it, okay?
Lemon water, man.
Oh, man. I bring my own lemon to restaurants, so just keep a wedge in my pocket.
I hear they're filthy.
Oh God, it's the worst. I do like the machine that restaurants use to cut those up, though. You ever use one of those?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
maybe. No, that was part of my duties when I for the 3 months I worked at Ruby Tuesday.
Hey man, they had the best croutons.
Those croutons are great. I don't know if they're still the same. It's been like a year and a half since I've been at a Ruby Tuesday and ate their salad bar. But yeah, they were cooked and like cooked fresh every morning and garlicky and buttery and crunchy on the outside and a little bit soft on the inside. Very good croutes.
Hey,
top shelf croutes.
I had a Ruby Tuesday that the night I drunkenly ate a steak at a Ruby Tuesday is the night that I got in that car accident I should have died in.
Is that why you can't go back? Is that why it raises the
oh man.
It's just a flashback. It's a Ruby Tuesday flashback.
I guess. I don't know, man. Yeah. But yeah, I guess I should have known that I was too drunk to get in a car with someone who was also drunk. Like we were both too drunk because we ordered steak at a Ruby Tuesday.
Separate incidences. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the deal with the aromatherapy oil, like the essential oil thing?
It's a
the diffusers. It seems like they're selling those to anybody this holiday season, not just the wackos. What's the story? What I mean, is lavender supposed to get me rock hard or what?
I mean, no more than usual. No more than any other floral aromatic.
Floral aromatic.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I don't know. I'm just using words, man.
I mean, is it healthy? I mean, who am I joining if I join that club?
So I think you're either meetings? I think that you're there are definitely meetings. I think that you're joining either the club of people who like things to smell nice or people who have like a talismanic belief that certain substances impart certain health effects on them, right? Yeah, there was like an episode of Sawbones about this. If you go back, like essential oils, and they talk about like people drinking them or people like inhaling them through vapes. I think it ranges from harmless to like, oh, there are certain ways that you should do this. People at work have those essential oil diffusers, and there are people who like just will like dab essential oil. Like, oh,
you put it behind their ears. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Like my stomach hurts. I'm going to put some like peppermint oil behind my, behind my ears.
cool. I'm going to put a soft pretzel in my anus.
No, that's just for fun though. That's for me.
That was for gout. My bad.
Yeah. So I think that I don't think it could hurt unless you're like inhaling it directly off of it. I think it's probably going to be expensive, and I wouldn't recommend doing it to the exclusion of actually going to a doctor. But
I just wondered.
Yeah,
I have some, but that's for a different reason.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, and?
Well, I didn't know what you wanted to talk about.
Come on, Cole. Jesus Christ. You're the one who invented that rule in my world.
Yes,
I know it came from someone else.
I'm the person who invented yes, and. Okay, Chris. Well, what's the other purpose that you have those essential oils for? Is it for your gout?
No. No, it makes it easier to insert the pretzel.
Oh, okay.
No. I use eucalyptus, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the sauna that I own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're essentially just using the sauna as
that's
like
for
a,
like my respiratory system.
Right.
Opens you up, right.
Yeah. Well, like what? That's basically what Vicks vapor rub does, not with eucalyptus, but with menthol. Like, I think that is like a demonstrable thing. And like,
right.
You know, peppermint, if you eat it, will calm your stomach down. Like, there's definitely a correlation.
On a peppermint.
What's that?
I've been eating a shit ton of peppermint lately.
It's good
with the CBD oil stuff. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the way to go. You can't get the unflavored stuff. Otherwise,
did you order the?
No. I need to go. I need to go ask the local head shop if they have that particular brand.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, I've got the here. I've got the the baggie of capsules here.
That could have been anything.
Yeah. No, I tore one apart while we were talking, and I just
let me check my phone when I text you that you got the double O's.
I got the zeros.
You didn't get the double O's?
No,
that's what I sent you, right?
Maybe.
I think I sent you the double O's.
Okay. Oh, it was like $5,
and I told you how many drops went in.
Yeah. Like, I guess I made a mistake.
I wasted my time.
Well, no, like, you know, like this will be fine for like a bigger dose.
Mm. Hey, where do you stand on electric shavers?
So I primarily use a beard trimmer.
Yeah, I mean, I realize you don't, you know,
right?
Groom.
I brush my beard every morning, and I use the beard trimmer to like get the edges of it, you know.
I don't know how you do it, honestly.
Keep a beard?
Like, yeah, keep a beard and keep so much hair. Like, this is not, you know, grow up, get a haircut, get a job kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is just being hot.
Oh, no.
I just got a haircut today, and I think my hair was like maybe like, I don't know, a half inch, 5/8 of an inch. I mean, it's been like 2.5 months. And yeah, I mean, it's just a lot. It's bulky and the hat doesn't fit
well. Also, I don't wear hats. You wear hats?
Yeah, not very often. I'm just saying it doesn't feel right. Maybe it's just what I'm used to. Maybe you're used to being a degenerate. I don't know.
Yeah, you're used to being a fucking yeti. I think it's just what you're accustomed to. Like, I definitely keep my beard shorter in the summer.
I don't know. I just it's hot.
I have used an electric razor in the past. It doesn't agree with my skin very much. I think it doesn't feel like it saves very much time. I would very much just like to, I mean, actually shaving doesn't take a lot of time if you have a good razor. So
which one?
What?
Yeah, but you got to get wet. That's the thing.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to get that shit wet.
Oh yeah, of course. You gotta get wet before you start. Yeah. No, I just
which is one of my favorite things that you say. That's if there's two things that I love that you say.
Okay.
The first one is trium.
And the way that I say trium. Yeah.
And then the second one is you got to get your dick wet.
Do I say that very often?
To me you do, cuz you're usually giving advice.
Yeah, I do. I am usually giving you advice. Yeah. No, why do you ask about electric razors? It's just, they don't agree with my skin, and I don't think they're very efficient.
I don't know, because there's that Philips one blade thing.
Oh, yeah, you were talking to me about that.
Yeah.
It's also...
No, it's not Philips. It's Norelco.
But it's like it is an electric razor that looks like an actual razor. It's got like a... That kind of form factor.
Yeah, but it's got this like It looks like a heat register. That's what the razor looks like. The actual blade.
Okay.
The one blade.
Right, right.
But it fits in there, and then I think it shakes side to side and somehow rips hair out of your face.
Yeah.
It looks horrible. I don't know.
In the past when I used an electric razor, I think I had a very bad one. And I think that the other thing I remember running into, and I've run into this before I decided to actually spend real money on a beard trimmer, is there are two things that I stop up. They are electric hair trimming devices and drains.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's my superpower. When I'm right near these things. I mean, back when I used to get my hair buzzed, even, you know, like up the sides, I think that I've burned out the motor on two hairdressers or, you know, barbers or whatever, of their just kind of like clippers. I've burned out motors on clippers before.
See, what you need to do is you need to start taking just an abundance of photos of yourself so that you get like a stock image library.
Okay.
You could call it Yeti Images.
just Yeti-Images.
Yeah.
By that domain. Yeah, I was a little upset. Last time I went to get my haircut, it was like right before Portland. Went in and sat down and said like, yeah, I just take about like 3 inches off all around. And like the owner of the Great Clips that I go to came up and said, hey, we charge extra for grizzly bears. Like, hey, dude, you want to fucking leave me alone? Because I'm trying to mind my own business here.
Drawing attention to the fact that, you know, I was on the Cleveland show. Fuck you.
I'm really proud of that work. You know, that was a successful show. Went 5 seasons. Come on.
Come on. Come on. So I do have to tell you this. I was at our, as we record this, I was at our parents last night because I decided to be nice. And I made dinner and I took it over and we watched the Ohio State game because fuck else is there to do in Ohio?
Right.
And at a commercial, I can't remember what came up, but I said, you know, I'm done with Orange is the New Black. Like, not like I've watched them all, which I have, but I'm done watching it because it went downhill. It's not.
I tapped out like 2 seasons ago.
It's done. And so I don't know if this is too much information, but our parents, by marriage,
people who listen know that, yeah, like, right. we got a lot of law enforcement in our family, yeah,
right, which is weird. I guess I have a criminal justice degree.
Yeah, I know, so right? I was gonna say it's not that weird,
and
I'm the weird one here.
Yeah, you are, you hippie. Wait, I'm the one who's quitting my job and going to grad school. I'm gonna live in a van and learn shit.
Yeah,
and so. And so the stepfather, who despite all odds, retired making a lot of money in corrections. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening.
There's a weird noise. After I said I was done with Orange is the New Black, he was like, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, nobody has a prison riot like that.
That's what Mom said. I was talking with Mom about it. She was talking about like House of Cards or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I never got into House of Cards and I haven't watched Orange is the New Black for years. She said the same thing. Like that's not what prison riots are like.
Right. And so I said, well, the Korean War was 5 years and MASH was on for 11 seasons. To which he responded, well, I guess you're right. No shit.
Yeah. They got their details wrong. Huh.
Also sat on the edge of your seat in Apollo 13. They fucking come back.
Passion of the Christ. That guy gets a bum deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It loads, man.
Except for in a cartoon, I've never seen someone spring so many leaks.
Huh.
So, yeah.
You never have a prison riot like that. I take this thing apart.
You know, organize many riots.
Yeah, I still haven't pulled the trigger on Hulu. Man, when I was over at your house and you were showing me your new TV,
Cole, first off, it's a cool TV.
What?
Spotify has the .edu discount where if you sign up for the $5.99 Spotify, you get the...
We've talked about this. We've talked about this
not on
the
show. Here.
Oh. I thought we did. Yeah.
In what we call real life, which is far from real.
Right.
Yeah, no, but then you get Hulu for free because you cross migrate and they get to learn more about you.
Yeah, of course.
And sell that. So
they can correlate that. Yeah, no, you're doing okay. Well, I was over like looking at your cool new TV. It's a very good TV. But then you fired up Hulu to show like you're like, hey, check out like what it looks like when something black and white is on here. You fired up Hulu to an episode of I Love Lucy. We had to watch 4 commercials before the thing would start.
Yeah. I told you it doesn't matter. Like if you want to watch The Gang Bang Theory or Lucy, it's not like you're gonna watch 4 to watch Big Bang Theory because whatever.
Because that's more valuable to them if you're gonna try and maximize that, yeah.
Right. You know, it's not like it doesn't seem like the advertisers are paying based on okay, well, this is more popular, so there's going to be more to get it.
Yeah.
Because obviously Hulu's going to have to pay more in order to have the shit that's going to,
that's going to be
more in demand. So you would think that Hulu would want to advertise more on those types because it costs more. But I guess if you spread it evenly, I don't know. Maybe it's based on the amount of time you watch, the amount of clicks or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it's inscrutable. I don't know. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
What is it? 220?
217.
217. God damn it. Yeah. So yeah, it's episode 217 of the comedy podcast. Us, those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah, that's who we are.
Yeah.
Your name is.
My name is Chris.
And my name is Cole. And we're here to entertain your asses with stories and such. So much going on.
Yeah, it is. It's a dark time to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dark time to die.
Yeah. Good day to die.
Why does everyone want a camera on their doorbell?
I mean, I've got a story related to that. I think you might also have one too.
I don't. No, I'm actually looking at a Home Depot ad.
So what I'm led to believe by both podcast and television ads is somehow there's a belief that
you want to yell at delivery people.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey,
get off my lawn. What do we all want to be virtual Clint Eastwoods?
He's a Gran Torino.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the idea is like they're saying, oh, most burglaries happen in the daytime and most burglars will ring the doorbell or knock in order to see if somebody's home before they start breaking in, right? So the idea is if they ring the doorbell, then all of a sudden, you know, they hear a voice like saying like, hey, sorry, I can't come to the door, blah, blah, blah. It'll make them think somebody's there when in reality they're over on a, you know, the homeowner is, you know, 2 states away on their fucking phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I think is the is one of the nominal reasons for why people want those.
I don't. Yeah, not me. Mm-mm.
No, I know you.
Peephole's good enough for me.
What's that?
A peephole.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is actually. I mean, we're gonna break form here. I normally throw to you for the story first, but it scans.
Oh
it
yeah, you usually say, hey, Chris, you got a story. For
yeah,
me.
Yeah. But you asked a question, and we'll treat that as a story. One reason you might want one is in case your Amazon delivery driver decides to take a dump on the street in front of your house.
Okay.
Happened over in Sacramento.
Amazon, an actual Amazon employee, or are we talking about a UPS driver who was delivering for Amazon?
So I don't know if this happens up where you live, but Amazon and certain places, in order to deliver things faster, like you'll check your tracking number and say like instead of being USPS or UPS, it'll say AMZL. which is short for Amazon Logistics. What they'll do is they subcontract out to people to, you know, basically take stuff from the distribution center directly to somebody, as opposed to putting stuff into the system for UPS or whatever. It's fine. It's really weird when just like a dude rolls up to your house and, you know, like bangs on your front door and then leaves a thing there, but you still get that. That happened this morning. It's a Sunday when we're recording and I got those capsules here. So that's the way that shakes out. And this picture, which this person posted on Facebook, you know, at Amazon to say like, hey, you need to get on top of this. This driver like apparently rented a U-Haul van. Uh-huh. Like one of those 1995, you know, take this U-Haul around wherever. just an image of this person squatting behind the open passenger door, just taking a dump on like in this cul-de-sac. Okay. The person came home to see,
which is what in all reality.
Yeah.
If you were going to do anything in a cul-de-sac,
It would be shitting.
Yep. Shit in a cul-de-sac.
Yep. Hey, Chris, I live on a cul-de-sac. Come on.
Grew up on a cul-de-sac. We grew up on what kind of is a cul-de-sac.
We grew up on an incomplete cul-de-sac.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of having a big turnaround at the end, there's just like a piece of gravel with a sign saying, no, don't go for it.
With a sign that says, don't drive into this field.
Yep. Yeah.
They should put one of those billboards so we could hide the DeLorean behind it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this person came home, saw just a massive dump on here. Here's a quote. He was in shock when he saw the size of it. He ended up scooping it up with a plastic bag, but it didn't take it with him. It smelled really bad. Also, the garbage can will smell like shit for the next few days. I also had to hose down the gutter and sidewalk area after the Amazon supervisor left, the person who came out to inspect the dump site. So yeah, this person came home, saw this massive, I guess apparently world-ending dump on the street, and yeah, loads, man. And he had to check his security camera, because he has a camera pointed at his driveway, to get the incriminating photograph, I suppose, of this person squatting behind the door.
That's intense, man.
Yeah.
Intensity in 10 cities.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to go, you know? Amazon says, this does not reflect the high standards we have for delivery service providers. This individual is no longer delivering Amazon packages, and we're in direct communication with the customer. Hey, sorry you had to hose that load off of your street.
I don't know, man. We've talked about the fact that I went to that Doctors Without Borders thing in Portland, right?
No, we haven't really talked about Portland's... We haven't recorded since Portland.
Okay, so I went in this like square part. I went, you know, I was just kind of wandering around because that's what I did, mm-hmm. and just kind of testing the city out because someday I don't want to be where I'm at.
Yeah,
and so they had this Doctors Without Borders thing set up, and it took you through the experience of being a refugee. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you move from tent to tent. They gave you like a name and identification and kind of like ran you through like the different gatekeepers.
Right. But for the life of me, I can't remember. There was a part of the thing where it was like the medical triage kind of thing. And evidently there are diseases, obviously, that are more common to refugees. And this was not a parasite. And for the life of me, I can't remember what it was, but they have special cots for it. And so they lay the patient on the cot, and the cot has a hole in it. And then under the cot is a bucket. And then there's IV bags that hang because they have to pump fluids into you because you are literally just shitting gallons of diarrhea.
I mean, like I would imagine if you're in a camp and there's a lot of crowding, and also like maybe the water situation isn't great, like dysentery would be a thing.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Was it like dysentery?
Yeah, I think so. But the lady who was giving, like all the people that were giving the tour of the, you know, that were giving the refugee experience, because
right.
white people,
Yeah, it's an empathy builder, right? It's showing like, hey, yeah, this is some of the reality that you're insulated from, and you know, you hear these stories, and there's all this outrage. Here's a different perspective.
Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tochar and check out our Patreon campaign.
The tour of it, the experience. She was actually a nurse, and she'd been everywhere, and so that was an interesting experience. She was giving firsthand knowledge of how many times you have to empty the bucket.
Okay.
And so basically, like, if you're able to make it 3 days with whatever it is, then you're good to go.
Yeah. Then the spell breaks. The idea is like you are so sick and so dehydrated, we have to push the fluids, but you're also too weak to actually like get up and go to a place. So here is a cot with a cutout and a bucket, so that like all you have to do is lay there as you are racked with this,
because that's all you can do.
Right? Yeah.
You're not getting up. You're just
pooping. Yeah. And that probably leads to other conditions that spread the stuff more. That sucks. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. You didn't tell me about the shit cot.
Shit cot.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, and here we are. We're here. We want a doorbell to yell at people pooping in the cul-de-sac.
Yep. Sometimes that's what it takes, you know.
God damn, man.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the client? I had a client the other day, and this is not a serious part of the conversation, so I don't think that there's any confidentiality, but I had a very enlightened talk with an African-American man.
Okay.
And he was explaining his problems, because that's generally what people tell me is their problems.
Yeah, I mean, in my line
of twerk. And so I kind of tried to put it in perspective to him that regardless of how bad it gets, at least he doesn't have to deal with the burden of white privilege.
Okay.
And the tone of the conversation, you know, led, we you know, that wasn't out of place in this.
Right. In right. This, comparing grasses, he's talking about all these problems and then you fire back like, hey, you know, yeah, I get you.
To which he responded, hey, cracker, how's about a little something for the effort?
What?
He parlayed it into a Caddyshack reference.
That's great.
Like, hey, llama?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, cracker, how's about a little something for the effort? I thought that was priceless.
That's very good. This guy sounds like he's got his shit together.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Good
dude. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
How about a little something for the effort?
Hey, cracker.
Hey, do you got a story?
I have lots. Lots. The headline as such reads, this baloney has a first name. It's
it's M-U-R-D-E-R-Z-E-D. S-S-I-Z-E-D.
S-E-I-Z-E-D.
Seized. Seized baloney.
Seized. This baloney is seized.
Baloney snatchers.
Baloney snatchers. They're just... CBS 4 reports, in Texas. They report, what a load of baloney. In that Customs and Border Patrol officers stopped a woman who was traveling over the border attempting to smuggle 227 pounds of contraband Mexican baloney.
Hey, what makes baloney illegal?
Which sounds... not okay to say.
Like contraband Mexican baloney.
Yeah. Kind of like when I was watching MSNBC the other day, and they had their panel on, and they were talking about Congress and the left and the right and everything else. And she said, it's kind of a Mexican standoff.
Mm.
And that sounds horribly derogatory.
Yeah. But it's not. No, I mean, like, it's a name of a thing. It's like what happened, you know, like, it happens all the time in like, you know, movies and stuff.
Well, yeah, but N-word rich is also a thing, but right. It's offensive.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you know, say like, oh, it's like a standoff, you know. And you just say like, oh, it's the end of Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, it's a Mexican standoff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Chinese fire drill. Yeah.
Right. Chinese. Where did that come from?
What?
Where did that come from?
That's a thing. It's like a prank.
Yeah, I know what it is, but
I don't know why it's called that. I don't know what it is about the Nation of China that makes people think everybody's stopping their cars at intersections, getting out, and then getting into different seats and then driving away. Like, I don't that is not a stereotype that I'm aware of.
Yeah. So they found 23 rolls of Mexican bologna in her car. She was fined $1,000. And the reason that you can't bring Mexican bologna across the border is because it's made of pork and could be carrying foreign animal diseases.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Hasn't been vetted.
But it's a thing. Earlier this year, they stopped a man trying to bring 30 rolls of Mexican bologna into the U.S.
But I mean, like, people go apeshit for like unpasteurized milk or unpasteurized cheese.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I need some European unpasteurized cheese to match with this Mexican bologna. I'll be set.
Yep, because I'm trying to commit suicide in the douchiest way possible. Because
I'm trying to make the most expensive and illegal Sammy ever.
Yep, I'm gonna eat the Sammy. I'm gonna lay on this cot, and then we're just gonna let it ride.
Bankrupt as shit. Smuggling in all this Sammy.
Oh man, illegal Sammy. Yeah, that's
you said it.
Yeah, that's funny. That
you asked me if I had a story. I started this show as this is a comedy podcast. The story that I said was funny.
Yeah, and then I said that was funny. No,
I think we're on track.
Yeah, we're good. We're in the pocket. We're in the pocket here. Yeah.
We're owning our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Actually, there's two more payments on our wheelhouse, but then we'll own it.
Yeah. Free and clear. Yeah. So bologna is a kind of sausage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And over in England, they've got stuff called blood sausage, right?
Sure.
Down in Baton Rouge, they've got blood streets.
Right.
What?
Say it right.
Baton Rouge. Sorry, didn't mean to besmirch the great city of Baton Rouge. No, they've got blood streets.
Okay. Because
residents noticed, hey, what's that? Why is the street all red? And why is that? Oh, it's outside. It's red outside of a funeral home. Gruesome photographs show red liquid trickling onto a back street from a valve outside the Green Oaks funeral home in Baton Rouge.
Oh, man. This goes back to childhood.
City officials said
it does. You won't remember this, but I'm going to hip you to some shit after you're done.
Okay. City officials said a stoppage in the line had caused the blood, which was mixed with embalming fluid containing formaldehyde, to leak from a storage tank behind the building. The leak lasted 20 minutes, and it did not make its way into the sewer system. They managed to sop it up, but it produced all kinds of photos and video footage of just people hosing down these streets that are it just looks like there was a massacre on this because... You know, something you don't think about, like, I'm not like that's, okay, that's a lie. I'm squeamish about this stuff. But like, I never stopped to think like what happens to the blood they take out of the body. Like, I think in my head, I just thought it went down the sewer, but that doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense.
No,
I had no idea that apparently funeral homes or places where they prepare bodies or stuff like that, that all of those had just blood tanks out back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that. Those tanks are fed by pipes that Jesus, that can get clogged and then cause what appears to be a biblical scene to unfold. It's it's all a bit much. Now you have a story, like you've got something to hit me to.
Yeah, so our father,
yep,
who art in another town,
right?
So he and his now wife evidently hit the skids at some point during your very early childhood.
Okay.
And I don't know that to be a fact necessarily, but that's really the only explanation because they were living together in one town and then he moved to a different town.
Yeah.
And had like his own place. And we only went to that own place like one or two times. Like it was a very short period of time.
I remember this place. This was the basement, right?
It was a basement apartment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was close enough to the divorce of our parents that he still had the couch that I remember from
the couch. This was the fold-out, right?
The very, very brown couch.
Yeah, the very brown fold-out, yeah.
Right, right. And that basement apartment was in the basement of a funeral home.
Yep, I remember this.
Yeah. Do you remember the hallway that you had to walk down in the basement of the funeral home in order to get into his apartment?
No. Was this in Findlay?
No, it was in Cary.
Cary, okay.
Right. So in the hallway, like in the corner of the hallway, like where the wall and the floor come together.
Okay.
When I say corner, I don't mean like literally the corner in one dimension. I mean flip it.
Right.
Where the wall and the floor change places.
Uh-huh.
And so there's an actual gutter, like a house gutter.
Okay.
That went out of one room that we couldn't get in, and it went down the hallway, and it went into a floor drain. And that was when they sprayed down the table of the embalming room.
Uh-huh.
Everything ran out of the embalming room down through a gutter.
Corpse runoff.
And then, yeah.
And this gutter, did it run through Dad's apartment or was it?
No, just the hallway. Like you walked down that hallway and there was that gutter that, you know, all the embalming water went down.
Okay.
And then you went into that. Yeah. So.
I have no recollection of this. I remember the apartment, but I don't. Huh.
It was barely, you know, I mean, that was not even an efficiency. I mean, that was bleak.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
It was very tall.
What's that?
The building. I recall it being tall.
Yeah. But I only remember the inside of it. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that I was in proximity to this very same situation. I didn't realize that that at one point I was corpse water adjacent.
Right.
Yeah. That is so bleak.
Worst time shift ever.
Yeah, this Airbnb is this is shit. that has to be against some kind of code, right?
Oh, it was the 80s. Things were different.
I suppose.
Saddam hadn't entered Kuwait yet.
No. It was a world of possibilities. It's a world of possibilities.
True story.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it was a blast from the past.
Yeah. I told you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No. You.
I insist. I was going to ask you if you had a story, but you were going to lead into something else.
Yeah, I was. It wasn't related, really.
Okay.
But I had said earlier that I had accidentally deleted a tab that was about a neck tattoo.
Okay. Yeah.
So a Florida physician in this Atlantic article says, quote, "We've always joked about this, but holy crap, this man actually did it."
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So they were preparing to treat a 70-year-old man, and he was in septic shock, which basically means he was rotting from the inside out, right?
Yeah, like his like blood poisoning or something like that. Just
yeah. He had a high amount of alcohol in his system, and they discovered a tattoo that read "Do not resuscitate" on his chest, like right where his neck meets his chest.
Okay.
With the "not" underlined.
Do not resuscitate. And the
man's signature was tattooed below, like the collar of his t-shirt. Like, so, you know, they pulled it down, you know, so "do not resuscitate," not underlined. And then he actually signed it, or, you know.
He a tattoo artist traced his signature below the DNR.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it was documented in a case study. Was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study states that the tattoo, quote, "produced more confusion than clarity." It might represent permanent reminders of regretted decisions made while the person was intoxicated. But and so the story is funny and everything else, but what I zoned in on was it produces more confusion than clarity. And so I think in general, that's where we are with the world. Yeah. This summarizes our world right now. It produces more confusion than it does clarity.
Right. More heat than light. and just a shitload of smoke.
More heat than light. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just more darkness, and there's no second part of that.
Yeah, and just it's the way it's going.
Complete and total ignorant darkness.
Yep. Here it comes. Creates more confusion than clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Yeah. Like medical so tattoos are a thing. I remember. Yeah. They like when somebody's getting radiation, they'll get a dot that shows where the gun to aim.
Yeah. Our matriarch has that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently people, there's a trend for getting medic alerts kind of information, tattooed on their wrist instead of wearing a bracelet. But that's like, you're not supposed to do that. That's a bad thing to do, because if an EMT finds you, one of the first things that they're going to do is kind of like reach and feel down around your wrist, like under a sleeve, to see, you know, to see if you're wearing one of those. You obviously can't feel a tattoo because it's, you know, drawn onto your skin. And so like they may miss that information. So like, that's not something you want to do.
Right. And that's the thing, is that this article outlines that an ethics consultant advises doctors to heed tattoos.
Okay.
So, quote, someone does not go to the trouble of getting such a tattoo without forethought and mindfulness.
Is that okay?
I don't know.
Seen plenty.
I don't know. I got a picture of Scooby-Doo throwing Joe into the volcano of my butthole, my ass. So,
this has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
No regrets. Hey, Chris, you want me to tell them what they can do?
Please.
Yeah. All the usual stuff. Tell your friends about the show. Spread the word. Listenership is up, and that's good. If you like me, I'm streaming more games recently. So go to twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. Watch that. I stream horror games and stuff. It's fun. But otherwise, iTunes reviews, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Chris, am I forgetting anything?
You got it all.
Cool. Sorry, America.
Sorry.